Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam.
Allahu Akbar. Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Thumma alhamdulillah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala alayna kitab mubin. All praise is due to Allah, who sent down upon us His book most clear. وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين. He said, "This day have I perfected for you your way of life, have completed my favor upon you, and have preferred for you al-Islam as a way of life." وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ. In His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And He has power over all things. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave, servant, and his messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader, Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'een, all of them, wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, and to you, O Muslim, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Laqad kana lakum fi rasulullahi uswatan hasanatan liman kana yarji'u allaha wal yawmil akhiri وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the 33rd surah, Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 21. And it says, "You have indeed in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful pattern of conduct for anyone whose hope is in Allah." That is God, whose hope is in God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is the more English word. But we don't want it to be lost that it says whose hope is in Allah. It doesn't always mean that that person knows that Allah is God. They can believe in God and believe that they are believing, in the one God who created the heavens and the earth. They still get credit for that, even though they call him by different names. And of course, we know in the Quran says call him by whatever names. All beautiful names belong to Allah. As long as there's no, I'll use the term profanity in the names that you use, meaning names that are offensive to Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth. In any case, whoever believes in that one and in the final day, that is, who believes that there is a judgment day, there is a day that the Lord, cherisher, sustainer, the one who created you, gave you life, and you will face him in the judgment. That's a reality. When you accept that as a reality, whoever accepts that as a reality, so you accept that there is the creator, the one and only Lord, cherisher, sustainer of all the worlds, you believe that, and you believe that judgment day is a certainty, whoever you are. And the Quran talks many times about the Jews, those who call themselves Jews, those who call themselves Christians, the Sabaeans, whoever believes in God, they have their reward with God. On such shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. So I want to make it clear that it's not only those who say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, that this verse applies to. It applies to anyone who believes in that creator of the description that we've given, and who believe in that day, and who engage much in the remembrance of that creator. Dhakarallaha kathira. They think about that creator a lot. Allahu Akbar. So what's the benefit? You want an example? You need an example? Muhammad is your model. Muhammad is your model. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, Sadaqallahu Alazim. So today we continue Taqwa and the Game of Life, and this is part 9. I want to add some other verses to the khutbah today. The first will be a reading from the 7th ayah of the 11th surah. I want to say 11 is Yunus. Let me see. No, Surah Hud. 11 is Surah Hud. Reading, أعوذ بالله وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام وكان عرشه على الماء ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن العمل صدق الله العظيم. An expression of it is, he, speaking of Allah, he it is who created the heavens and the earth in 6 periods, and his throne was over the waters, that he might try which of you is best in conduct. Verse 2, 67, Surah Al-Mulk, 67, Ayah 2. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ موت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن العمل وهو العزيز الغفور. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of it is, he, that is Allah, who created death, and it actually says the death, created the death and the life, that he may try which of you is best in conduct. And he is the exalted in might, oft forgiving. Verse 7 of Surah 18, Surah Al-Kahf, says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْعَرْضِ زينة لها لنبلوهم أيهم أحسن العمل. An expression of it is, that which is on earth, we have made but a glittering show for the earth, in order that we may try them as to which of them is best in conduct. Alhamdulillah. So, key verse, surely you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent pattern of conduct, a beautiful pattern of conduct. So conduct is the key. The verses that we read, they have the refrain that he might try which of you is best in conduct. He might try which of you is best in conduct to test them to see which of them is best in conduct. And it particularly, it brings it home for me always when Allah says, الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن العمل. He created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. So that is to say that when you understand the nature of life, Allah has created the death, and the death is mentioned first, and it's a very big important thing for us to understand that we are all going to die. To understand the nature of our mortality. All of us. We don't think about it often, but it's a purification for the heart. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to think about death often, not in any kind of morbid way, but to understand, yeah, there's going to come a time when my journey in this life is going to be over. When you remember that, that helps to purify your heart. But Allah begins with this verse. He said, he is the one who created the death and the life. So you have the beginning of life, meaning al-hayya, and then al-maut. The end, in between, is the trial. The trial is liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanul amala. Which of you is going to be best in conduct? So the point is that conduct, it's a big deal. Conduct is the key of life, right? I was listening, I read, you know, a Facebook quote this morning. It just, you know how you, I think many of you do the same thing. You just kind of like the way you used to look at, you used to go to the door, old school. Go to the door and get the newspaper off the porch, right? You get the newspaper off the porch. What do? You don't really read it. You know, you just flip through, you see what's in the news, right? Okay, well, Facebook, same way. And I came across this statement. I'm paraphrasing it, so this is like 85% or 90% of what it actually said. The sense of it you'll get, inshallah. Someone posted a saying from another individual. It says, we come into life with nothing, we leave life with nothing, but in between, we fight for what we didn't bring with us and what we won't take with us. And that got me. I said, no, I have to say this to Juma. Any excuse, I mean, this has to be said. You come into the world with what? Nothing. You go out with nothing. You don't take nothing. You don't bring anything with you. You don't take anything with you. But in between, everything that's going on in this world right now that we basically really don't like has to do with people fighting over what they didn't bring and what they won't take. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. When you look at that verse, the piling up of the beautiful things of this world, الْحَاكُمُ تَكَاثُرُ حَتَّى ذُرْتُمُ الْمَكَابِرُ. You fight and scrap for little bits of whatever this world provides. Then you think about how I've spent my life when you get to the grave, those that are victim of this. But of course, the believer, وَلَعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ عَمِنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. The believer recognized, hey, look, the time on this world is short. And if I can just remember that the most important thing is not what's happening relative to what I acquire here, but what I acquire that's going to benefit me after this life. Get the good that Allah has provided for you in this world, but don't forget your share. Don't forget your share of the material world, but don't forget your share of this world. I guess I got to say it in Arabic. وَبْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek with the means that Allah has made available to you, دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek with the means that Allah has made available to you, the life that comes after. وَلَا تَنْسَى نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. But don't forget your share of the material world. So Allah is saying, it's all right. You can have this. It's not forbidden to my believers. But don't make that the only reason for being. When you make that your only reason for being, then you lose. But see, this is, I put it right after this verse here, 7, verse 18 in my notes. It says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. We have placed what is upon the earth, زِينَةَ لَهَا. We have made it an adornment for it. It's for the life of this world. But then God tells you, say, look, understand this. زِينَةَ لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ. لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ, to try them. أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَمَلَ. It's a trial to see who's going to be the best in conduct. You're faced with these beautiful things in the world. You're faced with these attractive things in the world. You're faced with these entertaining things in the world. You're faced with these shiny things in the world. You're faced with these handsome men and beautiful women and lovely homes and beautiful cars and jewelry and wealth and art. Shiny. Get your share. It's good. Oh, I like that. Well, get it. But have the right attitude about getting it and understand its limitations and be ready to give it up if the Lord cherishes and sustains the world. Say, okay, we got to give that up. Oh, no, it's too beautiful. No, you got to give that up. لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَمَلَ. It's a trial. All right? One last thing before we move away from that note. It's a very easy and important phrase to remember. Every blessing is a test, and every test is a blessing. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Bismillah. How many beautiful women have been undone by their own beauty? How many handsome men have been undone by their own handsomeness? They just get lost in the sauce, as we say. You know, it's like... It's like, it was a trial. It was a trial. You missed it. All right? So we have to be aware of that nature of life. So this is the key of life. Which is best in conduct? So let's move on. So the aim of the game of life. It's one of the phrases that we've shared to desiring for you to hold on to it. Oh, let me hit this one other thing before I go away from that. How the society lies to us about the trial of life and tricks us into loss. So they have bumper stickers like, well, let me go to the negative side first. La ilaha illallah. Go to the negative side first. Excuse the phrase. I'm using the phrase inside of the instruction. Life is a bitch and then you die. That's why. And what's life all about? Well, life is a bitch and then you die. There's some real philosophy that's actually behind that way of thinking. Thomas Hobbes, look that up. I won't quote him right now. But some of the people that were studied by the quote-unquote founding fathers, he was one of them. Life is brutish, lonely, and short, or something like that. So that's the negative side. So some people take that side of thinking about the nature of life. And then the other side, you have what you have, those you would call a hedonist. Hedonist, meaning that it's all about pleasure, right? So, you've seen this bumper sticker where it says, he who dies with the most toys wins. He who dies with the most toys wins. That's another a popular lie out there in the culture, right? So Allah is telling a Muslim, and this is our protection, and this is his favor. He said, let me do you a favor. Don't listen to that. Life is not a bitch. Life is a trial to see which of you is best in conduct. Don't listen to that. He who dies with the most toys wins. Don't listen to that. Enjoy your share, but don't get stuck on that, because this is only temporary. It is short. Now, Thomas Hobbes, he's right about that. It's short in relationship to the reality of life. It's short. So you don't have no time to waste. All right? So once you know the aim, you know the game. And since we're talking about taqwa and the game of life, we got to answer the question, what is the aim of life? The aim of life is to try which of you is best in conduct. So what's the greatest favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could do for us? Let me give you a pattern of conduct to follow, and you won't be lost in the sauce. You won't get distracted. You won't fail in the nature of life. So I'm giving you Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a beautiful pattern of conduct. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All you have to do is think about how many people don't have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example, as a model, as a reference for, okay, well, what should I do in this situation? What should I do in that situation? Those who don't have any reference, or they have all the wrong references. Here's my situation. Let me go ask. I'm not going to put anybody's name in the picture, but you fill in the blank for the people who are the go-to people who lead them further astray. So the aim of the game of life is to always, one word, and in all ways, two words, A-L-L-W-A-Y-S, to always and in all ways. Where'd I go? Spoiler alert. I went to the donut shop last night, and astaghfirullah, I know we're not Catholics, we're Muslims, but I confess. Wynn got me an apple fritter. I just had a taste for the apple fritter. I hit it too, boy. It was good. All right, now that I got that off my chest, all right. This is a 24-hour donut shop. It's open 24 hours. So for donut junkies, mashallah, it's like, they got you. So the point is, 24/7. Okay? In Al-Islam, we have to practice Al-Islam 24/7. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, seeking refuge from any riya, any, whatever, arrogance, pride, show-offishness, or anything like that, but I've got to tell you this too. So, my dreaming last night, I was so very conscious in my dream last night, even though you don't bring back from dreams always a whole lot from it, that's the nature of dreams. But the point is that I'm just remembering how conscious you can be inside of a dream. I mean, I was writing some things, and I was trying to get the writing clear, trying to force myself in the writing to write it in a way that I could read the word and remember what the word was. But I never really got to that point. But I was trying to tell I'm going to call it my avatar, just to move on. two. Okay, no, write it like this. Never really got that done. But the point is, I was very conscious in the dream. So what I'm talking about, 24/7. Even though we are not held to the same moral standards for what happens in our dreams, but there is some measure of control that we do have in our dreams. Although I don't know. If it's like, you remember you had that dream and when you did that, you know, you could have chosen to do otherwise, but you didn't. I don't know. I think I'm kind of getting away from where I want to be right now. But the point is, what I say, 24/7, in always and in all ways, Al-Islam has something for you to do. There's a hadith. I'll give you a little homework. You can look it up as you will. Just type in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his dream about the kingdom of heaven. His dream about the kingdom of heaven. It's not the Iswa wa Mi'raj, something else. The prophet's, the dream where he received the parable of the kingdom of heaven. You'll find it, I believe, inshallah. And the only point that I want to make in that, since I went that way on that part of the conversation, that two angels came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was at his feet and one was at his head. And so one angel said, tell him the story. I'll put it that way. Tell him the story. And then the other angel said, but he's asleep. And then the other angel said, his eyes are asleep, but his heart is awake. Okay? His eyes are asleep, but his heart is awake. I'm only saying that for us to understand. When I say always and in all ways, because you know there are some options in some of our dreams where, okay, are you going to do that or are you not going to do that? There are some times. You're a human being, so you dream. Are you or are you not? And you can make that choice not to do that. Whether Allah's judgment on that, that's Allah's knowledge. So all I'm doing is trying to reinforce for us that the idea is to not let up, definitely in your waking hours, on the fact that you're supposed to always be conscious of Allah. That's the taqwa aspect, which we haven't really gotten to, and the game of life. The taqwa aspect is consciousness. And when you talk about taqwa is rooted in a word that means guarding. And taqwa is an inward guarding consciousness. Taqwa is watching yourself on the inside. Kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kutiba lil-ladina min qablikum la'alakum tattaqun. Fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for the people before your time in order that you might learn self-restraint, is the way it's often translated. La'alakum tattaqun, self-restraint, right? And so taqwa is being able to control yourself on the inside. And mashallah, inshallah, when we get to it for detail, you have a whole community. We have a whole community inside of ourselves. And it's a community of urges and impulses. And each of those urges and impulses have an appetite and a destiny of their own. Urges and impulses that say, I'm personifying it. But the nature of their creation is that is such that if you put a narration in their mouth, they would say, I'm only here to do this. Don't ask me about that. Don't ask me about that. I'm here to do this. Right? But they don't even have that I'm talking about your urges and impulses. They don't even have that conversation. I'm just personifying, giving you a narration to make it, quote unquote, more real. But that appetite that sent me to the donut shop last night is like, hey, go get that donut. It's like, So effectively, who's in charge of that trip? That impulse, whatever that impulse was. And you know what? You know where we going tonight? We going to the donut shop. Now, there's a part of me probably argued weekly, W-E-A-K-L-Y. So now, you know, you don't need no donut, man. And I hadn't even had dinner. I'm going to tell you the whole story. I hadn't even had dinner, man. So it's like, but here comes the rationale. The rationale is that, man, you're on this side of town. You ain't usually on this side of town. When the next time you going to be back on this side of town? You need to go and get that, man. You know, it's good. You know what I'm saying? And who won that impulse? That impulse won. Because it provided, and who was that talking? That's what our impulses do. Our impulses rationalize what supports what they want. So an impulse can take over the mental mechanism and drive the whole machine to the donut shop. So that wasn't Fahim that went to the donut shop. That was Fahim's appetite that took him to the donut shop. Now listen to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ma ahadukum tu'minu hatta ahwa'uhum taba'an lima jittu bih. Said none of you is a believer until his impulses, urges, appetites follow what I have brought. Are you beginning to understand the jinn a little bit better? Huh? And the Prophet told Aisha, that was your jinn on some occasion. I don't want to go through the whole hadith. So that was your jinn. He said, she said, I have a jinn? Yes, you have a jinn. He said, you have a jinn? He said, yeah, there's not a child of Adam, but a jinn has been assigned to them. But Allah has helped me to overcome mine so that I'm free from his mischief and he only commands me to do good. So you got to look at Yusuf, you look at Suleiman, you can get clear answers as to what that actually means. Now, I'm only trying to get to the point that always and in all ways, practice that conduct in a matter that's consistent with what Allah would have you practice in whatever that case is. Start the clock, 24 hours a day. You wake up in the morning. What's going on in your body? What are you supposed to do? You wake up. You know, the rule, well, the guidance, Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيا ما أماتنا وإليه نشور. Praise be to Allah, who has given us life after our death, and to Him is our eventual return. That's actually supposed to be the first thing that we say. When Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه نشور. Fahim, you do that all the time? No. No, I don't. It's called practicing al-Islam. You wake up, what's Bitcoin right now? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, missed it. You know? So it's like, it's a practice. You know? Let me check my Facebook. Let me see what Instagram said. Let me see if that text came back. Everything but the right thing. See, 24 hours a day. So you wake up, boom. Practice. And that's with everything. This is the point. See, as a Muslim, are you only Muslim 23 hours and 30 minutes a day? Are you Muslim 12 hours a day? MashaAllah, a'udhu billahi min, may Allah protect him, guide him, give him straight, get him straight on that. I saw on that documentary, the documentary about what's that sports thing that Ernie and K- Kenny and Chuck and Shaq, whatever that is, TNT. I think it's TNT, ESPN. In any case, so in the documentary, so they're around the breakfast table, and then somebody said, you know, I think it was Shaq said, you know, give me some of that bacon or something like that, right? He said you. Somebody said, ain't you supposed to be a Muslim? Something like that. And he said, I'm a Muslim after 12 o'clock, but I got to have my bacon. A'udhu billahi, min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. May Allah protect him, forgive him, guide him to the best. MashaAllah. I mean, I ain't mad at him, but that's stupid, you know, and wrong, right? He said, I'm a Muslim after 12 o'clock. Because I got to have my bacon in the morning. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan. So, but that's not al-Islam. We know who he's kind of tipping after anyway. And that ain't even right for him. But let's move on. So when we understand that being a Muslim and living out the favor of Allah and playing the game of al-Islam, i.e. the game of life properly, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm suggesting even being conscious of it when we are asleep. This is a striving. It's not like, I live in the principle that I'm speaking to you. I don't want you to think as I'm saying as, yeah, he got it locked down. No, I need a lot of help. But what I'm telling you is true. Okay? And that's the aim of the game. The aim of the game is to get it like that. To get it to where it's you're an unconscious competent, where, as it says of the believers say, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, and they say, we hear and we obey. Nothing in between. We heard what is right and we do what is right. That's where we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to a place where stimulus responds for righteousness, inshallah. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Oh Allah, let not our hearts deviate now of your guidance right, and grant us a mercy from your own presence, for surely you are the grant of bounties without measure. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Allahu Akbar. Shukran. الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So how do we do this? How do we do this? The methodology for doing so, meaning the ability to always and in all ways act in the best and most meaningful way. Very important. Act in the best and most meaningful way. لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامِلَ. That's the test of life. You're born, you die. In between, what is the best conduct in all ways at all times? When you hit the mark at a given time, in a given situation, you did the right thing for that situation. Let's take the adhan. When the adhan is given for prayer, I think all of us should have that mechanism, because we don't live in a world where you can hear the adhan in your neighborhood. But you should have an application on all these devices that we have that plays the adhan. It says, like, okay, Allahu Akbar, time for prayer. What you going to do? Oh, man, they on the two-yard line. It's the last 5 minutes of the game. Championship, man. Well, Allah give us a range. You have a range. We can do it right here. We can do it. All that's true, but you need to know who you're talking to. One is that impulse, and that impulse is being counseled by Shaitan. Tell him this. Tell him that. Hey, man, you need to hit that DVR, go make your prayer, and then run it back. Don't let Shaitan steal from you, right? So in terms of that, that's just an example. The idea is to have the right conduct in all ways, at all times. And one of the ways of doing that is, which I believe is the principal way, is according to the Holy Quran, we have to read the revealed sources of guidance. That is, be in the habit of reading the revealed sources of guidance. And the highest of which is the Quran and the creation. Brother and sister, listen to what I'm saying. Be in the habit of reading the Quran and mashallah, inshallah, learn how to read the creation. And hey, if you don't know how to read the creation, then look at nature films. Literally. I'm just talking about the science of nature. Just look at videos about the bees and the flies and butterflies and flowers and whatever. Astronomy. Yeah. Well, you can study if you really understand it, but leave that alone. It's okay. But alchemy is also inside of that, but that's another kind of science that if you ain't got it right, don't mess with it. Mashallah. Let's move on. Okay. I'm going to leave it right there. It takes me too far. Okay. So when you read those sources, here are the two questions that you have to ask yourself. I'm talking about habits. I'm talking about habits of mind. Just like the habit we say when we wake up, you say, praise be to Allah who has given us life after our death and to him is our eventual return. Okay? That's practice that. Okay. Now, habitually be a reader of the Quran. That's first and primary. And the reading of the Quran will send you to other readings, but reading, habit of reading the Quran. And then also ask yourself of what you read. So you should keep a journal of little things, verses that stick out in your mind, verses that make particular impressions on you. You know how it happens during Ramadan. During Ramadan, when we're reading the Quran, oh yeah, oh that's where that verse is. Yeah, I like that. So you keep a little journal, a little diary to have those favorite verses, so those verses that stand out for you. Let me tell you something. It is your soul. Have you ever gone shopping? I know sisters have. I believe brothers do too. You go, oh man, I got to go to my brother's wedding. Man, I got to go to my sister's wedding. I got to go to this social event, blah, blah, blah. Man, I ain't got nothing to wear. So you go shopping. And when you go shopping, what are you looking for? You don't know. You don't know. So what do? You take your mind and your soul to the shops and you just walk around looking. And then something hits you and say, oh, that's it, man. That's the joint right there. You go to the fitting room, try it on. Yeah. What told you that was the right thing? Your soul. Your soul told you this is the right one for you. Same thing happens with the Quran. Just take your soul to the Quran and just read. And just read. And then your soul will say, now you need to pay real attention to this verse right here. How will you know the soul is telling you that? Because something's going to grab you when you get to it. It says, stop, don't go no further, think about this. Now you know. What does this make you think about? What does this make you? That's your soul trying to get your mind in line. Soul already knows. The soul has already been enlightened as to what would benefit and what would harm it. It's the mind that doesn't know. That's why we have to be reminded. That's what Jummah is. It's a reminder. Why? Because you might have lost your mind last week. Come back to Jummah, you get it back. Oh, yeah. And then the soul talks to the mind in the course of that reading. And so now it's guided you to something else. So being in the habit of reading in that manner, it enables us to find those things that are important for us. You may need something that I don't need. I may need something that you don't need. The Quran is for you. Personality is your personal reality. Your personal reality will dictate to you what's important to you as you read, but be in the habit of reading. So being in the habit of reading, okay, now once it gets your attention, the next thing for you to do is, okay, ask the question, what does that mean, and how therefore should I behave? You got you? What does that mean, and how therefore, because of that meaning, and how should I behave? What's the goal? The goal is to act in the best and most meaningful way. That's always. To act in the best and most meaningful way. Ayyukum ahsanul amala. The verses that we read. That's the whole trial of life is to see who's going to act in the best and most meaningful way. When you do that, excuse me, when you do that, then you quote unquote, let's say you pass that test for that moment. Bismillah. You know the word for sin in the biblical language, it comes from a Greek archery term. That actually means to miss the mark. It means to miss the mark, right? When you do the right thing, then mashallah, you hit the mark. That's the conduct. That's the right conduct. That's the best conduct. Oh yeah, that's what we're all, and we're trying to get to a place where we live like that. We get to a place, okay, I'm a Muslim and I'm a believer. What's the goal? The goal is to try to live a life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that is on target. Who shows us how to do that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why it's critical to also read the seerah of Prophet Muhammad. You have to ask yourself, if you've never read a book that covers the whole seerah, Prophet Muhammad from birth to death of the biological man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you haven't done that, you're short. You haven't done that, you're short. You haven't done that, you're short. I'm emphasizing that. Because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the decoder ring for the Quran. If you want to know what something means in the Quran, the best reading is going to come from how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam related to that verse. And especially when we talk about the Quran, there's the revealed order of the Quran and there's the compiled order of the Quran. And Fatiha wasn't revealed first. Surah 96, its first five verses, that was what was revealed first. 96, there's only 114, and 96 was the first one, and Al-Fatiha has its own special revelation and time, and again, and later. So the point is, a part of understanding the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the context of the Quran also means understanding what is called as Bab al-Nuzul. Now, don't you step back and start getting frightened about, I ain't got time to do all that reading. No, that's your thing. You read it for me and tell me what it's about. No. You ain't got to sign up, go to no college, except it's a beautiful thing. Those of you do it. Nothing I'm saying right now is pushing back against any of that. I'm saying there are those, this shaitan, this impulse, that would cause us to excuse ourselves. Yeah, I really can't get it like that unless I can enroll in one of these programs. Now look, you got a book, you probably got a bunch of them on your shelf right now. Be for real. Pull that book off the shelf and just read a page every day. Period. Put yourself under the discipline and say, read it. I don't get, the book is 365 pages. Okay, how long is it going to take you to read it? Just read one page a day. Okay? You say, oh man, oh, that's a long time. Okay, let's go back a year. What if you had been reading one page a day a year ago? You'd be on the better side of this conversation right now. And don't feel bad. My goal is not to make you feel bad. My goal is to motivate and encourage you, right? It says Mubashiri wa Munziri, right? The part of the Quran, part of the khutbah, part of it is supposed to be good news, and another part of it is supposed to be a warning. A warning. Because as I'm saying it to you right now, and you think about how much lag time there has been between your doing that, Allah has said in that book, the Quran, it said, hasn't the time come that the believers pay attention, give due regard to this book? Or are they going to be like those who came before them where a long time passed over them where they didn't give due regard to it and their hearts grew hard? You got to ask yourself, do I want to be that person? Am I that person? So we have to be cautious. We have to be cautious. So let us understand. Be in the habit of reading the Quran. Study the seerah of Prophet Muhammad. And what I was mentioning about the 23-year period that the Quran came down in, there's what's called the Asbab al-Nuzul. The Asbab al-Nuzul, it means every one of those revelations of the Quran, 114 chapters, some of them revealed at the same time, whole, some of them revealed parts over years. Some of the whole chapters revealed in parts over the years. But they had, as Asbab al-Nuzul, they had a reason for coming down. Al-Fatiha, when, why did it come down? Chapters and verses in Al-Baqarah, when, Surat al-Asr, 103. When did it come down? Why did it come down? And let me go ahead and give you another hint, a tool to help. I have found, there are many sources, I found very useful Maududi. When you go to Tahfim al-Quran, find that Tahfim al-Quran, understanding the Quran, you find there's one online, free, whatever, that it gives you the Asbab al-Nuzul. It's like the way that it's set up is like, okay, you go to Al-Fatiha, then he'll give you the background, the history, the context, the occasion that it came in, and hadith that go along with that. So you're getting the Asbab al-Nuzul, you're getting, and of course he has his insights on that as well. So I'm saying there are some platforms that enable you to do what I'm saying in one place, right? You just have to be in the habit of doing that. And brother and sister, the improvement magnitude on your life is immeasurable. You just got to change the habit. You just got to change the habit. Inshallah, you do that, all will be well, inshallah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for your divine graces. We thank you for this way of life that you have chosen for us. We thank you for your complete and perfect favor. Oh Allah, illuminate our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Purify us in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. Guide us in our behavior. Help us to overcome our weakening impulses. Help us to overcome our undermining urges. Help us to follow the ways of our Prophet, the model that you have given to us. Bless us to live the life that he modeled for us. Help us, O Allah, to understand your revelation in the context of his life. Give us the habits and give us the commitment, give us the conviction to hold ourselves accountable for studying your word and for emulating Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, forgive us our shortcomings. Forgive us our misses. Forgive us our errors. Help us, for without you, we have no help. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akim as-salat. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا رسول الله. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Thank you for joining us this morning for University of the Men's Leadership. Alhamdulillah رب العالمين. We just replayed yesterday's recording of Taqwa and the Game of Life, the Jumu'ah series that we are continuing, and we look forward to continuing today and beyond. And not without, of course, hearing from you. I always want you to bring your input, bring your contribution, put it on the table for the benefit of all, respecting the fact that others have comments and content to share, but also please resist reteaching the subject. Just make your contribution, add your flavor, and it is improving the whole experience for all of us. So press one on those of you on Blog Talk, press one on the phone. And those of you who are listening via Facebook and YouTube, inshallah, for the time being, I can see comments, if you would, if you like. Alhamdulillah. Brother Mark, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, you, Imam Fahim Shoaib, and to your very astute listeners. This is Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. Want to say alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And want to commend you once again on the excellent khutbah. You know, it's not as any consolation to you in what it was that you said in terms of your impulses. And as you know, this is the way of al-Islam, not Catholicism, where confessions. This morning I had a donut and some bread pudding for breakfast. And I acknowledge, this is not confession, but I acknowledge that sweetness is my weakness. I have to watch it because I love it. You know, if cherry pie, apple pie, bean pie is in the refrigerator, it winks at me sometimes, you know. And, you know, I can't see that good, but but I wanted to say that. And then also, I didn't know that Shaquille O'Neal was Muslim, that he took the Shahadatain. It got by me. I didn't know that.
He said he was a Muslim. That's what he said.
What was that most recently?
You might remember him being present in one of Minister Farrakhan's addresses during some night. It might have been a Savior's Day. Savior's Day scenario. If anybody else has some detail, they can chime in with it.
Even with our brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam, the one thing that you and I both know is former members of the Nation of Islam, they don't eat pork, they don't play around like that. I mean, that's even jokingly, mm-hmm. they don't even play around. I mean, people that are not Muslims, they don't even, they know that much, you know, in that regard. But I did want to, in regards to your khutbah, I was listening very attentive to what you were saying, and it kind of brought back to mind old saying. It went like, the seed of good and evil is an eternal fight. Then the question comes, which one will you water to grow in your life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a seed, you understand? And I look at it in terms of what Allah says in the Quran, in terms of the goodly tree and also the evil tree in terms of how it's rooted and everything. And so we have to ask ourselves, which one of these seeds will we water to grow in our own life? It's very, very important. Imam Muhammad said we have to select the things that go into our mind. That was something he said early on in his leadership. I know you remember that, select the things that go into your mind. So taqwa, actually the inward God in consciousness, it helps us in terms of selecting those things that actually go into our mind that affects our mental attitude, disposition, and consequently the behavior it is that we display. You know, we have to watch our words because our words, they become our thoughts. And we have to watch our thoughts because our thoughts become our actions. And then actions repeated over and over, they become our habits. And habits, you know, they define our character. And every character leads to a destiny. So, you know, if we look at it from that perspective, and all, we know the destiny that it is that we all want as a God-conscious people. And so it begins there with the word, and words, as you know, you said it many times, the words are a container of ideas. And Imam Muhammad said every word has a spirit in it, so that will influence us in that regard. So the selection and being mindful and being conscious of what's coming into us ultimately will reflect what the destiny will be for us. So I could say more, but I'll stop there in the sake of time. But I enjoyed the kutbah. Excellent, excellent kutbah. Thank you, and may Allah continue to bless you and us. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Shukran, Zawi. Thank you so much for your contribution. Alhamdulillah. One last opportunity for others who would like to make a comment before we proceed, or as we proceed. So, seeing that, what I'm going to do is go ahead and Blog Talk, of course, you follow along, but if it's possible for you to get on two platforms at once, maybe if you can get to YouTube on your phone or Facebook on your phone, or even open another page on your laptop where you're able to go to either of my Facebook pages and see the notes, since, of course, you know, we don't send the notes out anymore, because we can share them online as we're doing right now. So these are literally the notes that I share on, or rather the notes that I used for the Jumu'ah. So I'm going to go back and take up where we left off in yesterday's Jumu'ah. And that is this note where it says, so the aim of the game of life is to always and in always act in the best and most meaningful manner. This is the goal. So it's like if you have, in my classroom, when I was doing classroom teaching at the Claire Muhammad School, W.D. Muhammad High here in Oakland, I had a big banner made. I mean, a big banner. And it was up in the classroom. It says, always keep the main idea, the main idea. Always keep the main idea, the main idea. Okay. That's just a simple way to be reminded, okay, are you on track? Are you on track? Are you on track? Keep the main idea, the main idea. In this case, is to always and in always act in the best and most meaningful way. I think I would probably change that to manner. Now, I put the meaningful, the most meaningful manner. All right? So that's it. So we always keep the main idea, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that was the thesis. That is, never forget that. Always and in always, the goal is, that is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the goal is to act in the best and most meaningful manner. That's it, right? That's what you always want to do. right? And how do you do that? The methodology for doing so, according to the Holy Quran, is to read, and you can go think about that. I didn't capitalize or make it bold, but Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Inside of that statement, which is from the first of the revelations that came to Muhammad ibn Abdullah in his becoming Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first thing is to read. And what are we reading? Read the revealed sources of guidance. And what are those revealed sources of guidance? It's the Quran and the creation. It's the Quran and the creation. And in every one of your readings, whether you're reading the Quran or whether you're reading the creation, ask the question, what does it mean? What does it mean? Think about this. Just the sun. Think about the sun. The sun rises and sets. Our experience of the sun is it rises in the east and sets in the west. Even though we know as you grow that no, it's not the sun rising from the east and setting in the west, but that's the default setting of our perceptions. Like, yeah, it looks like it's coming up and looks like it's going down. And we know, of course, it is the revolution of the earth itself that gives that effect. But the point is the rising and setting of the sun, that's a phenomena in creation. And when we look at it, and now when we look at it now and seeing it as reading as opposed to simply observing, you're reading it, then you want to ask yourself, well, what does it mean? That the sun rises from the east and sets from the west. You know, what does it mean that, you know, that it's actually caused by the revolution of the earth, et cetera. And when you can see how just asking that question and it just keeps going on, because what is the force that's making the earth orbit, you know, and the earth is orbiting, but is it sitting on something? How is it staying where it is? You see, everything just extends in front of you from a intellectual, scientific perspective, just by asking just that question. What does it mean? But more important, or rather the extension of that and the real value of that is, okay, what does it mean and how should I act because of that meaning? What does it mean? And how should I act according to that meaning? Let's go back to the first revelation that Allah sent to Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He revealed, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi allama bil qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Okay, you read that, and you know, let's already assume and then remind, yeah, you have to learn how to read it in Arabic, in the Arabic. So let's assume that you are reading it in Arabic, you read it in Quranic Arabic, you read it, okay, ask the question, what does it mean? What do you have to do in order to find out? You have to study. You have to do whatever studying you have to do in order to do that. You see, so there's some automatics that go along with I'm a Muslim. You say, I'm a Muslim, you know, striving to be a believer, because we know that one is not automatic for the other, particularly just because you're Muslim doesn't mean that you are a believer, right? The goal is to become a believer, and you know that from the Surah 49, you know, when the desert Arabs say, we believe, and then Allah corrects them and tells them, say, no, just say you have submitted. That is, just say you're Muslim. Just say you have submitted, because faith has not yet entered into your heart. There's so much richness in there. We look forward to, inshallah, Allah bless me with the opportunity to share more of just that feature. But, so the point is, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, all the way to the end. What does it mean, and how should I act, right? Okay, once you embrace what it actually means, and then act in accordance with it, then all of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that is packed inside those five verses is going to unfold. As Brother Mark talked about, the seed and feeding the seed and watering the seed and cultivating the seed. It's like that. Those five verses are like a seed as well. And they have growth inside of them, potential inside of them, things to come out of them, and they're coming out. That is, those things coming out of that seed of five verses means cultivation coming out of you, development coming out of you, potential being realized in you, effect you're able to have in the world as a result of the unfolding of the growth of that seed of content that you have imbibed and that you have nurtured and you have allowed to flourish in you. And so that results in development inside yourself. That results in developments in the world. All that just from we're just saying from the possibilities that are inside of just five verses. What's in the Quran is just it's immeasurable. It's infinite. It's forever. And so the point is, how much of that do you want to benefit from in your life on a daily basis, because that's what is always available to us. And I'm saying this methodology is getting into the habit, being in the habit of asking just these two questions. What does it mean and how should I act? Two, you read a verse of the Quran, what does it mean, how should I act? Right? And if by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you guided right with regard to what it means and you guided right in terms of the behavior that should follow, then your life improves in accordance with whatever is in the nature of that particular item that you're reading. That's how it goes. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-dina samih, the religion is simple. Some translate it as religion is easy. Yeah, the quote-unquote, the deen, our way of life, it's simple. It's easy. And when we say it's simple and easy, because that is to say, read it, hear what it says, make sense of its sentences and its direction, just like I said. What does it mean? How should I act? That's simple. How should I act? That's simple. What does it mean? How should I act? That's simple. Right? And we'll take a cultural phrase where it says, but the devil is in the details. The devil is in the details, right? See, and so again, once you accept that, yes, that is simple. Yes, that is correct. Now, when you really look at yourself and then you ask yourself, okay, I know what it means and I know what I should do, but why am I not doing it? There's a big conversation waiting on that impulse conversation that is to arise from that impulse conversation that we had in yesterday's khutbah. But it goes right there with what the devil is in the details. It goes right there. While I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it there, the point is that once I know what it means and once I know what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to act, now something intrudes, something intercedes, something obstructs my movement from knowing what it means and knowing what I should do and it being translated into actual performance on my part. Right, there's something that intercedes and something that intrudes, something that stops me from doing exactly what is meant that I come to understand as to what it means, that what I understand as to how I should act, but then I don't act that way. Somebody can hear the call of the Bible statement, when I was a child, I acted as a child, whatever. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's abstract, very, very powerful truth, but it all has to do with impulse control. It all has to do with impulse control. And our way of life, which I mentioned during the khutbah, the Prophet said, none of you is a believer And that's another thing. You know, that's on that big list of things that do you really understand? Believer, right? And the believer, qalu sami'na wa ata'na. The believers say, we hear and we obey, right? And so many other definitions there. So the point is, you have not, and when I say you, it's all of us, have not arrived at the destiny intended for the right to bear that label or to take that name or to qualify with that attribute called believer, right? Until there's no obstruction between what you should do and what you do. There's no, it's like, I know I should. Not there yet. Yeah. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, it's true for all of us in some matters. So the idea is to get to the place where there's no obstruction between sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. I know what I should do and I do it. Right? That's what the growth is. Okay, the question becomes, what is the obstruction? What is it that's stopping me from doing it? That's the thing to be discovered. That's the thing to be discovered. And shaitan has everything to do with it. And again, the need to understand shaitan, quote unquote, better as it relates to our failure to perform in accordance to what Allah has ordered. When we get that, then you can see shaitan when he shows up, how he shows up, and where he shows up, right? And then, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Put yourself in a position to be able to say, oh, no, that's shaitan. Boom. Move out the way and go on and go forth. But all of that is a growth process, isn't it? So just following on with this idea. Okay, so when you follow that method, I'm suggesting to you, A, be in the habit of reading the Quran, be in the habit of getting the background, which is understood, vis-a-vis the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it's the context. There's another picture that I could draw, but we won't do it. I'll just state it. Here's the thing. Gingerbread man. Let's say gingerbread. This is a stick, just line drawn gingerbread man. You come from this culture, most of you, so you've seen the gingerbread man. Okay, so that's the gingerbread man. Let that be Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can draw. Let's just say some lines. I mean, some lines that kind of divide up and fractionalize that person, right? That image. All right, so then you can draw a line. So it becomes like a map. So you can see that gingerbread man as a map, right? And so then create puzzle pieces. Yeah, create puzzle pieces in there. So imagine that. So you've broken it up like a puzzle. And so now it's a bunch of puzzle pieces. But when you put all the puzzle pieces together, then they are the gingerbread man, right? And So in each one of those puzzle pieces, you put, you know, Mecca, Medina. Just put them, just fill in those puzzle pieces, Mecca, Medina. And then some of them will have Mecca and Medina in them, right? What are you trying to illustrate? You're trying to illustrate the fact that gingerbread man is the life of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His whole life. Is in there. It is represented by that figure, right? And then you have the various parts of Revelation. Various parts of Revelation were sent. Some parts of Mecca, some parts of Medina, blah blah blah. So let the gingerbread man represent the seerah of the prophet, the seerah of the prophet. So that means his history and his background and, you know, the historical life of the prophet, and then each one of those puzzle pieces are representative of revelations that came at different times, right? And you could also throughout the whole thing, you could have throughout the whole thing, you could have hadith in each one. I'm being brief on this. So each one of those puzzle pieces where you have Mecca, Medina, they're representing parts of the Quran that reveal. Maybe even you could actually put the chapter numbers anywhere dispersed throughout that. This is just an abstract to get the picture. So you have the totality of the numbers in the puzzle pieces would be 114, right? So, and you put different numbers in different pieces of the puzzle, right? Keep the Mecca Medina there because some parts of it was revealed in Mecca, some parts are revealed in Medina, some chapters in Mecca, some chapters in Medina, et cetera. Okay, and then also hadith on all of it, right? So what is all that for? What that's for is, okay, so now how many people bring us a verse of the Quran and they say, it means this, it means that, right? Or they give you a hadith and say, it means this, it means that, right? See, now, with that illustration is a reminder is that you have to read those verses, you have to read those hadith in the context of the sirah, in the context of the life body of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the way that a person reads a verse of the Quran, reads a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without the context, then that's a way for it to be misread, misinterpreted, misapplied. All right. So that whole gingerbread man scenario is to say that, okay, somebody bring out, yeah, man, it's not this bid'ah and this sunnah and this is blah, blah. Okay, well, my model, I'm saying, if you speak in agreement with what I'm saying in principle, they say, well, my model, my methodology calls for a context for what you're telling me. I need the context for what you're telling me. I need the Asbab al-Nuzul. I need when it came down, where it came down, why it came down, the circumstances under which it came down, blah, blah, blah. Same way with the hadith. Someone brings you a hadith, it means this, it means that. I need the same thing. I don't have the language for that, but there is a language particularly for the reasoning, the reason of a hadith as well. But fundamentally, it's the same thing. Listen. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that whole body, that gingerbread man model that I just gave, that's the uswa of the prophet. Uswa, we're talking about the form of the prophet, his character, his demeanor. In fact, for the companions who they didn't have hadith, they didn't have Bukhari and Muslim, etc., but they were followers, and their example is example for us to follow. So there were instances for which decisions needed to be made about, you know, whether to go left or right in a matter, and the companions would make decisions, and some of those decisions would seem to run counter to things that others had heard about the matter. Right, meaning they had hadith, but it's understood that what they had the living model example of Muhammad that they had lived with face to face, you know, touched hands, prayed with, worked with, warred with, what have you, and it's called the Mizaj Shinasi Rasul. Mizaj Shinasi Rasul. They understood the temperament of the prophet. We could say the uswa of the prophet. They understood his disposition. They understood his internal being. And the imam said, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we thank Allah for the imam. The imam said, listen, the sunnah comes from the uswa. The sunnah comes from the uswa. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, which is the core verse for us yesterday and the week before. You have in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful model of conduct, right? So he's the model, right? And so this Mizaj al-Shinas al-Rasul is well, that's not like the prophet. If somebody tells you something about me, then those of you who've been around me, worked with me, did this, did that, and someone said, well, he said X, or he said Y, he said Z. I think that in some measure, you should be able to see those of you. I'm going to put it on the ones who have at least a couple of decades with me. I can put it like that. I'm thinking about 2001 in Oakland. But in any case, you should be able to say, it's like, nah, that ain't true. But something else, you know, I say, well, maybe, you know. Okay. As to the prophet, the companions and their life with him was such that they knew, despite what someone would say here or there, what have you, they brought out that model. And they laid what the person was saying that the prophet said, did, or approved up against that model of what they knew about the prophet. I'm talking about the life, the living companions of the prophet. And so they were able to evaluate whatever somebody brought, saying and ascribing it to the prophet, and they were able to contextualize it, critique it, accept it, reject it on the basis of their personal experience with the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, that has to be the same way for us. If you and I want the truth from those sources in our day and time, then we need to have the same knowledge. We need to have the same knowledge and same benefit. And so I say to associates of Imam Wahdani Muhammad particularly, so we can be real clear, make sure that we don't swallow no fish bones, nor do we throw the baby out with the bathwater. Let me give you those two abstracts. We don't want to swallow any fish bones, but we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. What am I talking about? I'm talking about those who have dedicated their lives and their work and who have credentialed experience in the seerah of Prophet Muhammad, in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, in the chronic sciences, etc. We should, these are fruit trees that we should be picking fruit from those trees, eating those fruits, et cetera, getting the nourishment from them, getting the benefit of the time that's spent and who their very expertise represents centuries of accumulated knowledge. You have centuries of accumulated knowledge in those people who are, you can call it whatever, classically, technically, academically trained in those regards. In those cases, you have people who are flesh and blood books. You understand what I'm saying? You know, behind me, of course, I have a lot of books, and many of you have a lot of books, right? So I want you to understand that there are people, scholars, sheikhs, alims, imams, who are like flesh and blood books. Good. But you still have to do the same thing with a flesh and blood book that you do with a bound volume, right? Sometimes they have fish bones. Only Allah is perfect, right? Sometimes they have fish bones. Sometimes they have some stuff and say, hey, yeah, well, you were good right up to there. Boom. Or you were good right up to there for the people that are the core people that you're focusing with. But my frame, in that particular, my frame is different. My epistemology is different. My perception is different. The angle, my need, my circumstances, my starting point, my destiny, my contemporary situation is different than the one that you're speaking to. Alhamdulillah, it's good, it's beautiful for those who fit that frame and all the other particulars. Brother, sister, this is where Imam Muhammad Rahim and all day. And that's okay. I ain't going to talk about it. It is what it is with me. So, whatever. So, the idea is that the epistemology, the frame, the destiny, the history, and the interpretation thereof, you know, our contemporaneous situation proceed through that particular lens, tells us what we filter and feel. This is what happens for everybody. And I'm saying for the Associate of Imam Wahdani Muhammad, it's like, He's the one that provides that for us. That's it. So, those who push back against that, well, why? It's like, okay, you got your thing, your focus, your filter, your frame. Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, beautiful. Because there are a lot of ways to deal with life because everybody has different lives. Everybody has different situations in all of those particulars that I've described. All right, so I'm saying us, with that perspective, this is why with the whole gingerbread man model, it's like, okay, so I can listen to Sheikh Hamza, I can listen to Imam Zaid, I can listen to Dr. Jackson, you know, I can listen to Abdullah Farouk, I might have his name twisted up, but mashallah, I think if you are looking, Professor Bilal, I can get from him. That, I'm not talking about Abila, of course. He's on the team. but I'm thinking about, well, there's several Bilals. There's one walking Quran. Yeah, I want you to know all the women that bring knowledge from these other sources. I have a signed copy of that book. I always do this, don't I? Not there again. Bilal Ware, that's what I'm thinking about. Daoud Aleem, Imam Daoud Aleem and the like. Many, many others. I know I'm leaving somebody out, but I'm just letting you know that hey, it's good. Yusuf El Karadawi, so many others, and you already know I've mentioned Ismail Faruqi, and so many others. Good. Alhamdulillah. You have those people who have dedicated decades of their lives to specialize in the knowledge that they have. And they come to the table with a special acuteness with regard to that slice of the universal Islamic pie. It's like, man, cut your slice and eat, right? Alhamdulillah. So that's good. And I'm saying that it's like it's not for all of us. It's not for all of us. Everybody got to know everything about all of it. No. Look, Allah has blessed us in our life and time to be present where there are others who have, by their conviction, by their dedication, by their discipline, they have become flesh books. They have become flesh books. You can listen to them, gain from them, except you don't have to spend the time and the years of study in order to get that particular knowledge. But you do, this is the advice, come with your own autonomy. Come with your own perspective. Come with your own, not in the rebellious, iblisi kind of way at all. It's just like, don't be a blind follower. You can't be a blind follower of Imam Wahid and Muhammad also, right? No, you have to be alive in conscious possession of your independent capacity for thought. If you want to bear the label of saying I'm an associate of Imam Wahid bin Muhammad, anyone who is a knee jerk reaction person and they say and I'm a follower of Imam Wahid bin Muhammad, they're lying, because Imam Muhammad don't teach that. Think on your own, right? So you do that with all of those sources, because when you have that kind of freedom of mind, truly free, when you have that kind of freedom of mind, that's what opens you up for inspiration. And what do I mean by inspiration? Intuition, the ability to see something you know, look, you're looking for something that somebody else may not even be looking for, or somebody else may not know where to look, or they don't have the wherewithal to be able to pick up on a particular way of looking at something, because their temperament is not oriented in that way. To each is the goal to which Allah is turning, to which He is turning, so striving in the race towards all that is good. Allah has made us all unique. Allah has created us all unique. Allah didn't run out of uniquenesses because there are 7.5 billion people on the planet right now, if not more, and everyone unique, and everyone unique, and everyone gifted, mashallah. So we're blessed to be in a world and a time and an age right now where we can actually see some of these blessed people. And we're in an age where these blessed people share their blessings online, and you have access to them. So it's like, I don't know what else you could ask for, right? So let's move on, okay? So this is the habit. The habit is to ask, in your habit of reading those sources that I'm talking about, and I'm saying this particular methodology, I'm applying it to the Quran and the creation. With regard to all the other matters of scholarship and things that I've talked about, yes, you do that. The main thing I'm saying there, you know, don't swallow your fish bones and don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I got to be abstract because we don't have that kind of time. Okay, it's the truth without detail. So with regard to the Quran and the creation, with regard to Quran and creation, what does it mean? How should I act? When you get that answer for whatever it is that you're reading and studying, then alhamdulillah, you're good. And there's going to be a natural dynamic, a natural kind of momentum that will evolve just from being in that habit and more and more wider and wider understandings and deeper insights. It's going to come just by asking those two questions. Excuse me. Also, I'm just trying to reinforce this. Also, okay, Quran and creation, what does it mean? How should I act? All other scholarship. Don't swallow any fish bones. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's fine. What does that mean? In essence, it means don't only limit your reading to the Quran and the creation. You have to read other sources. But you're reading those other sources in the interest of getting your question answered. What does it mean? And how should I act? Because you read something from the Quran, you read something, you see something in creation, and then it says you need more knowledge about X, Y, Z, Z, Y, X. Where do you go for that? Well, you have to go to some of those other sources, some of those flesh books, right? And you have to look at that. But then while you're doing that, don't swallow any fish bones, and don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's life. All right. This habit is a part of what the Quran actually speaks to in this context. That's Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 79. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُطِيَهُ اللَّهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ والنبوات ثم يقول للناس كونوا عبادا لي من دون الله ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون صدق الله العظيم. So this is the command. So think of this in the context of what we just said. What does it mean, and how should I act? Right? And I'm saying this is the order of God, asking such questions and having that knowledge and being that way is an order. It's an order from the Quran. It says it is not possible that a man to whom we've given the book and the wisdom and the prophetic office, that he should say to the people, be ye my worshipers other than Allah. So if the first order, what does it mean? How should I act? And with regard to that, that goes directly to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, Surat Ali Imran is largely about that. So the idea is that, so it's saying, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't say worship me. Jesus didn't say he was God. So that's that. It's like, what does it mean? It means that Jesus is not God. How should I act? Reject anything that suggests that Jesus is God. That's simple on first order. So now, God clear. He said, no, Jesus didn't tell you worship him. Prophets are not objects of worship. And then Allah says, this is what you should do. Now, he's telling us what we should do by telling us what they would actually have said. All right? On the contrary, he would say, Rabbaniyun. This Rabbaniyun is in there, which is critical for it. And this, an expression of that is, be of the Kunu Rabbaniyun, when it says that, to be that way, right? Then be of those who are possessed of command, authority, and mastery in the systems of knowledge that you are studying. All right? This is the order. So, again, this goes back to the idea of you have to learn how to read the Quran for yourself. And even this expression of it is not the totality of the expression. It is inflected by my own perception, my own frame, my own destiny, the idea of where we're trying to go, my own sense of my own need and the need of those who share my values, position, history, destiny. Yeah, it's a very particular translation. That's true, or expression. That's true to the words. And see, and this is the nature of the Quran. The nature of the Quran is like it gives you what you need. There's not only one reading in a verse of the Quran. There's not only one reading in a verse of the Quran. You have to leave room for, it's like, well, there might be something. There's only one way to read. I don't know of it. I haven't found it yet. So I won't even continue with that concern. The point is that you see with the eyes that you see what you look with. I think that's the way it's saying. You see what you look with, right? Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, again, he said, every eye is seen through water. Every eye is seen through water. The very fact that we blink. Why do we blink? To keep the eyeball moist. To keep the eyeball moist. Right. So there's a very thin water sheath that's over our eyes. Right. So we're seeing through water. So what does it mean? What does it mean? Right. It means that we all see through our own sensitivities. We all see through our own sensitivities, right? And so, therefore, my sensitivities are going to cause me to see something in one way. Your sensitivities are going to cause you to see something in another way. Allah knows what is true. Allah knows what is right. And I can't negate your seeing because you don't see the way that I see or that you don't see what I see. I can't negate it. I have to acknowledge it for you in terms of that. And you, like you say, good at that dictates that that's for me. But now when it comes to one's expression of what it is that they see and they say that it is from Allah, but you give it an expression that contradicts the metaphrame, I have to say, that Allah is God, you know, and Allah does this and Allah doesn't do that. But then you tell me something that God said this, and this runs counter to the accepted reality of what is Allah in his attributes, his qualities, his ways, et cetera. If you give an expression that contradicts that, well, then that's rejected. It's not personal. That's rejected because it's counter to what Allah has ordered, just like this very verse itself, where it says that it's not for a man. If you're talking about a man who received the book, a man who received the wisdom, a man who received the prophetic office, and then you want to say that he said that he's God, then, hey, either you're not talking about the same guy, or if you're talking about the same guy we're talking about, excuse that language, then, you know, he didn't say that, and he didn't do that. Okay, it should be enough. So the point is that we are ordered to have mastery, authority, command of the book, yes, but also systems of knowledge as well. So the idea of ignorant Muslim is an oxymoron, right? The idea of Muslims without curiosity, Muslims without appetites for knowledge, that's a contradiction. All that's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. Because our way of life, looking at the model of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, طالب علم فريدة على كل مسلم ومسلمات. طالب, that is the appetite. If you go to a restaurant, Arabic speakers, they're utlub samaka. Utlub samaka. So I want fish, right? In the utlub, it's the command form of the talaba, right? Talib, what is talib? Student. But what is talib also? Appetite. And how is that appetite manifest? Curiosity. Curiosity. If you have no curiosity, then you're not a student. We are supposed to be curious. We're supposed to have questions. We're supposed to be seeking. We are seekers, right? All right, so... So, and it says, وَلَّكِنْ كُنُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَالِمُونَ, that is that you have that scientific knowledge there, right? Of the book, الْكِتَابَ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ, and by those things that you are studying. You have to be a master. You have to be scientific about the book and about the systems of knowledge. That's it. All right. Now, As we read, so that verse is confirming this habit, reading and studying broadly. You just have to do it. Look at your calendar, look at your time, look at how you spend your day, you know, day, week, months, etc. How many days, weeks, and months I was be left? I mean, I got to put it that way. I mean, it's dreadful for in my thought system that you do no studying. There's nothing that you're reading that you're interested in, you know, beyond, less known the Quran or what have you. The Quran has to become a habit of in our reading, like eating, reading, right? It's like, man, every day, it's like right now, I need to drink some water, right? It's like I should drink more water, and I have to drink more water. But the point is that, you know, some of us have to ask ourselves, well, how much water did you drink yesterday? My wife is the one that asked me, he's like, you drink any water there? It's like sometimes we just let it go. But many of the illnesses and many of the frailties that come upon us, you'd be surprised to know that a lot of it has to do with dehydration. It has to do with dehydration, just haven't drank enough water. And so there are many of us who are not in the habit of showing up bona fide drinking, you know, XYZ ounces of water in a given day. The body actually calls for them. The body calls for a lot more water drinking than we habitually do. Right? Okay, well, that's your physical body, right? how about your spiritual body, your soul? You know, we have to take a drink from the fountain. In fact, here you go. In the eye, right? The eye. What is that, that little black part in the middle? What is it called? It's called a pupil. It's called a pupil, right? Now, when's the last time you called a student a pupil? Right? No, but that's what a pupil is. A pupil is a student in the language of the world, right? Pupil is a student. But also, what is the language? What in Arabic, what is the I? In fact, I think the English word I itself is actually a play on the Arabic word ayun, ayun, fountain, fountain, right? Fountain. Okay, so that's also a source of water, right? Every eye is seeing through water. So you can see a connection between what the Imam told us. Every eye is seeing through water. So the eye is a fountain, right? So the point is, all that goes back to water and being a student, habitually reading, having an appetite, having a curiosity. It has to become a part of your character. It has to become a part of your character. And the beautiful thing is, as we conclude, and anybody who has comments, I won't close out without giving the opportunity to have brief comments before we close out. The point is that has to be a lifestyle for you. Your reading has to be a lifestyle for you. Reading with this intention and reading with this focus, reading with this strategy. It's just critical for your growth because you're alive with a place to go with the limited time of life that we have on this planet, and we are in possession of the perfect favor of Allah, a knowledge body that is a grace from the Lord, cherished and sustainer of the world, and it is actually what, know it or not, understand it or not, the whole world is looking for what Allah has blessed Muslims with. I know it don't feel like it, it don't look like it, it don't sound like it, it doesn't matter. That's what they're looking for. Al-Islam is what, because everybody's looking for an answer, the sincere people, they're looking for an answer, they're looking for the truth, they're looking for the right way to do this, they're looking for how to evaluate this, how to know, how to separate the wheat from the chaff, let's call it, the true from the false, you know. Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad, Al-Islam is a way of life. It does that. But we have to become familiar with it as a tool to put to those tasks. That's what we're talking about. So, mashallah, alhamdulillah, that's going to be it for today. Oh, no. Let me read this verse right here. Because then we'll go back to the hadith that really sent us in this direction a couple of weeks ago. 39:18 of the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هادهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. I'll read it again. الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه أولئك الذين هداهم الله وأولئك هم أولو الألباب. Sorry, I'm used to سبق الله لين. Used to getting a leaf lamb after that هم, and so with the starting Hamza, just natural though. هم now is هم أولئك هم أولو الألباب. Speaking of the believers, he said, they are those who listen to the words. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ. That's form 10, right? They seek. They try hard to listen to the words. يَتَّبِعُونَ, and they follow. تَبَعَ, right? And they follow what is excellent, follow its excellence, right? So the believers you have to recognize there are multiple layers of meanings in everything, and you're trying to hear in what Allah is revealing what is meant for you and what is the best meaning in it. When it said, لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامَلَ, the idea, as we mentioned before, that the game of life, the aim of life, is to try which of you is best in conduct. So ahsan comes in there, ahsan al-amala. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةً حَسَنًا. This excellence is there as well. And then this verse is telling you to seek to find the ahsan in the verses. So all this excellence going there. So your excellence in the life model of Prophet Muhammad, excellence in your own conduct by seeking to gain from the excellent model of the Prophet, and also to primarily get the excellence in the verses of the Quran for your state. So when you can get the excellence from the Quran for your state, and then find the excellence in the model of Prophet Muhammad for your state, and then you behave accordingly, huh? What does it mean, and what should I do? And you behave accordingly, alhamdulillah, that is the way to the best in this life and in the next, inshallah. So, Block Talk, you're going to be off in maybe 5 seconds or less, so you can flip over. We'll give an opportunity to have some feedback here. Georgetta is giving us something here. Conduct, noun and verb. Not just what you say, it's what you believe. It's what's in your heart, which only Allah knows. It's what you do. Conduct is your actions. Alhamdulillah, so true. Thank you so very much. Alhamdulillah. Also, assalamu alaikum, Fakir Bashir. Alhamdulillah. And also, alhamdulillah, hello, I am Saudi Arabian. Umiyad Khalifa Ayo Safavid, alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us today. Alhamdulillah, may Allah guide us to the best. Alhamdulillah, no comments from Blog Talk. That's going to be it for us today. Allah's peace be on you, everybody. Have a wonderful day, inshallah. Hope you can join us tomorrow. I'll find out along with you what the subject is. I think we're dealing with, I'm pretty sure we're dealing with language. But show up, we'll both find out. God's peace be on you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.